Feels good. I'm excited that they're in church tonight. I'm excited that I'm in church tonight. I must say I've had a full week. It's been a good full week, and I'm excited to be in church. And I think there is no better place to be when you've had a big week than in church to get ready for the next full week. Because why would you do anything else? Why would you stay home? Come on. I'm saying that with a smile, but I'm serious also. There's no better place in the house of God just to get in and be with His people and hear His word and get refreshed and renewed and ready to go out and keep running the race. And so, yeah, well, you know, I don't need to tell you because you're here. So it is awesome that you are here, and I'm glad that I'm here, and I want to just share from God's word tonight. I'm excited about it. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us and just your incredible mercy and incredible power and incredible grace, God. And God, we don't want to take that for granted. We don't want to ever think that a Christian life is about just doing the right things, but we always want to remember that it's only by your grace that we breathe, and it's only by your grace that we are saved, God. And so I just pray that tonight you would really just speak to us through your word, God, and use us for your purpose and your glory, God, and that you would really just reveal something to us tonight. God, individually, God, that you would put something in our heart that you want to say, God, amen, that you just really cement that in there. Amen. And I was thinking today, like if you were at church this morning, you heard Dad's incredible message on the first command of Jesus. Me and Luke were saying that it was confusing because he said there was 10 commands, and I thought maybe that he was going to do all 10 this morning and we would still be here tonight from this morning's message, but he's not. It's going to go for 10 weeks, and I'm excited. I think it's really, really cool. But just talking about just the holiness of God, and I was just so blown away again just by, like this afternoon as I was just preparing, just by, you know, how perfect and holy God is and how much it means that Jesus died for us. And just, it's a mind-blowing thing, and I don't think we ever really get it, and I don't think we ever will really get it, and I think I just always want my heart to be open, to be blown away by that all the time, and never get too good at being a Christian that you forget about the incredible thing that Jesus did for you and what it means that he died on the cross and that without him, we're nothing. And that's, yeah, good. My message tonight, I guess that if it has a title, the title is Delight. Exciting. Woo. I was reading this verse that Mum actually gave to me a while back, and I was reading it again this week, and it's Psalm 37. And I'm going to read a couple of bits out of it. I'm going to read from verse 3 and 4 and verse 23 and 24. Yeah, that works. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Then in verse 23 it says, "If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." And I was thinking about this word delight because it's used there both to say like that we would delight ourselves in God and that God would delight himself in us. And I was like, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to delight in somebody or in something? Because it's not a word that, you know, gets used all the time except for like Turkish delight, which is really nice. And I was like, well, I thought that's a pretty good description of the word. Like if you look up delight, then it would say, see, Turkish delight. Because, you know, it's like sweet and it's simple and it's good and it's, you know, it's exciting and all that stuff. If you don't like Turkish delight, then you that doesn't make any sense to you. And that's a bad definition, but that's cool. But I was like, well, that's really the only time I ever hear that word apart from like in this Bible verse. But really, delight just means like to take pleasure in something, to enjoy something. Like it's full of joy. And the dictionary actually says like enraptured with. And the word that David uses in the psalm, it means like to be pleased with or to be pleased to do, like that you would just do anything and you'd be happy about it and you desire that. And it's like, it's this really powerful word. And I was like, it's really interesting that like, it's not like, you know, do what God tells you to begrudgingly, but it's delight yourself in God. And it says that if you would like have your path straight, if you would do the things that God commands, then he delights in your way. So he's like excited and passionate and full of joy because of you and for you. I was like, well, that's really like, that's cool. That's excited. And like God really wants us to delight in Him, and He wants to delight in us. It's like, you know, when you're a kid and you first ride a bike, or like I remember when I first like caught a wave on a bodyboard or something, and you just that feeling like when you're younger of just, you know, delight. You know, when you score, like when your team wins the Champions League, I did not feel that feeling, but you know, when Josh walked up to, we were doing the coffee at the firefighters thing, and he walked across the road with his Chelsea jersey and jacket and scarf and everything else that he could find. I'm pretty sure not one thing he was wearing was not Chelsea branded. He just had this big grin from ear to ear, and that is delight. He's having a good day. He was wearing with a Rabbitohs jersey as well tonight. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it's a fluke. It's true. Well, we won't get into this. We'll be here all night talking about Champions League. But it's that simple, like, childlike joy and passion and delight and love. And this is what Jesus says. He says in Matthew 19, he says, "Let the children come to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to people such as these." And I was like, that's a really big statement. Jesus actually says, you know, if you would come to me, if you would come to the kingdom like a kid, like a little child, then you actually own the kingdom of heaven. It's like they're the sort of people that own the kingdom of heaven. They're the sort of people that the kingdom belongs to. It's not like come to me like a begrudgingly good Christian who just goes through the motions. But come to me like a little kid, full of joy and delight and love and excitement, and then the kingdom will belong to you. That's so cool. Oh, good. You with me tonight? Good. I've been reading, like in the reading plan I've been doing, a lot of Samuel and Chronicles. And it's that stage, you know, that bit where they're actually doing, it's like almost word for word sometimes. You read the two passages, and the way that the reading plan I'm reading is organized, it's like sometimes it's confusing. It's like, I think I just read that passage, and you know, it's just the different books. And I've been reading about David. That was a long-winded introduction to that one. But I've been reading a lot about David and now about Solomon, and I've been really interested again in just some of the stuff that happened in David's life. And you know, he got some things really right, and he got some things really wrong. But which is the same as all of us. But David knew how to delight himself in God, and God delighted in David. And it's incredible to look at it. You know, we've got David who, you know, he had some major stuff ups, but like he danced before God in his underwear, and he wrote the Psalms that are just filled with these incredible statements about the joy of God and the love of God and the grace of God. And it's really interesting and amazing. And like, I guess I was reading it and thinking, I would much prefer that sort of relationship with God than a dry and dusty religious thing that is sadly what a lot of us are caught, well, not us maybe, but a lot of the world is caught into, yeah? It's amazing. You know, I think our culture, and especially young people, like are increasingly cynical. Like you can't enjoy something too much or people will start to pay you out for it because like you got too into it. You know, you got to kind of get into something, but don't go all the way. Don't be too excited. You know, you got to keep like a little edge on it. So maybe it's like ironic that you like that thing. Or I don't know. Like it's and I think it's stupid. You know, if you like something, then go for it. Anyway, that's just an aside. And because, you know, it's like it's something that I think it's snuck into our culture, but it's so not the culture of heaven. And I think we need to get this. The culture of heaven is delight yourself in the Lord. And the Lord will delight himself in you. And it's exciting and it's fun and it's passionate, yeah? Instead of testing God, see how much you can trust God. Like in a good way, put in as much to him, not looking for a way to prove him wrong or say, there you go, God didn't come through for me. Look for what he's doing in your life and the incredible things and say, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to stretch further and delight myself in God. Amen? Look for more ways that you can live and more ways that you can get his heart and his purpose into yours, yeah? You know, we're allowed to have fun. It's allowed to be good. Like, pretty much, like, you have been saved by the incredible grace of God. You can be happy about that. You know, Like, don't be like sour-faced about the ridiculously incredible thing that God has given to you for free. It's like winning the lotto and then being like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we do, though, yeah? That's what you do when somebody asks you where you were on the weekend and you avoid saying church in the list of things that you did. You know, like, come on. Like, you've won the lotto. It's just, put it like that. Like, it's the lotto that everybody can win, but it's still like, you know, $1 billion. Makes sense? No, we're allowed to be excited about that and be delighted in God. And God makes promises that come with delight, and that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. So, you know, that was really all by way of introduction. Now, if we delight ourselves in God, the Bible promises us that we will get the desires of our heart. That's pretty exciting. I think sometimes, like, we get this idea that living for God means that we're going to miss out on something. And, you know, we've got to have these priorities. We've got to do these other things because, you know, in some way, living for God is this big sacrifice that I have made, which it needs to be a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice of praise. That's like, you know, you're happy. You're excited about it. It's not, you know, a grumble sacrifice. You know, but, like, God's promise to us isn't that we would miss out on everything, but that if we would trust Him and delight ourselves in Him, then He will give us the desires of our heart. We can actually be positive about this, yeah? Don't worry about what everybody's worried about. Don't worry about your job or your future, but trust God. Now, honestly, I think when we worry about things like the future, we do stupid things. When you make decisions out of worry, you make bad decisions. It's really simple, and all of us know it. And when you trust God, He always provides. So why do we continue to make stupid decisions out of worry instead of making great decisions out of trusting God? Because it's a no-brainer, yeah? And like, I do it. We all do it. And Jesus says to His disciples, I was reading that today in Luke 12. When Jesus says something, when something in the Bible says, Jesus said to His disciples, I had this real thought that it's not just like the 12 guys that walked with Him, but we are His disciples if we love Him and follow His commands. And so Jesus is talking to you. And so when you see that, think, okay, what is Jesus going to tell me right now? Be ready for it, yeah? And He says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Because life is more than food and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why worry about the rest? I love the perspective of Jesus there, that like adding an hour to your life is such a simple little thing. Because, you know, God's concept of time is eternal. That's very different to us. And so an hour is, you know, nothing. But we can't even do that. So He's like, well, why worry about the rest of the stuff? And He says, think about the lilies, how they don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you? O you of little faith, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. Nothing has changed. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Now, delight in God, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Don't delight in the desires of your heart. We do that all the time. And we delight in our desires and not in our God. But God's promise is that if we would delight in Him, then He will give us those things. If we would seek Him and trust Him and we would seek His kingdom, then we'll get all the other stuff that we need because He knows that we need it. And God is not vindictive. He actually wants you to do well. And so He will give you the things that you need. Yeah? And when you delight in God, He gives more and more into like your heart what He delights in. And He grows and He directs the desires of your heart. Now, I was reading how David had this desire to build a temple for God, which is a good thing. You know, he had this amazing palace and God was still in a tent. And he was like, well, let's build a temple. And God says to him, no, you've killed heaps of people. And so I'm paraphrasing. You can read it in Chronicles 28 if you want. But he says, you've killed too many people, and so you're not allowed to build the temple. Your son is going to build the temple. And I think, like, David has this real choice with his attitude here. He could be really bitter that he doesn't get to do it, or he could, like, see it as an opportunity to leave an inheritance for his son. And that's what he does, and it's incredible. He turns around and says that the Spirit gives him the plans. So God says, you're not going to build it, but then his Spirit tells David, this is exactly what it's going to look like. This is what everything's going to be. This is what you need. And David collects all the stuff, and then David himself, out of his own wealth, pours all of this stuff into the building of the temple so that Solomon, when it comes time to build the temple, just has everything that he needs. It's like buying a temple from IKEA or something. And so, like, it's all ready to go, and there's the instructions and the materials and all of that, and you just needed the Allen key. And that's what it is. And so then Solomon builds the temple. And so David, instead of being angry that God didn't give him the thing that he wanted, lets his heart be expanded to a bigger desire, which leaves an inheritance for his son. How good is that? Don't have a small heart and expect God to fulfill your desires, but have a big heart and let God fill it with more and more desires for the incredible things that he wants to do, not just for you, but for your children. Now, honestly, that's what excites me about the building stuff and the buy the bricks. It's just that it's an inheritance for generations, and long after we are all dead and buried, there will be a place in Wollongong for our children and our children's children where they can continue to serve God and love him and build on that. And they can sell it, they can tear it down, they can knock out walls. I don't care. It's there for them to build something greater. And that's so powerful. So don't let, like, that desire be some small thing, like we want a new cool building. But let's, like, expand it and say, well, what if I'm not building the temple? Maybe I'm setting it up for my son. That's so cool. So that was the first one. You'll get the desires of your heart. Okay, I don't think I'm going to get through it all, but we'll see. The second promise that God makes us, there are a lot, but I'm just going to talk about a few, is that our strength would be renewed. And it says in Isaiah 40 that God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, a walk with God is not supposed to be a constant struggle and burden and heartache and thing like that. But it's this place where we find rest and freedom and strength to go and run again, yeah? You know, your journaling time is not supposed to be just some religious activity that you do because your life group leader asks you how many times you've journaled this week, but a renewing time where God speaks to you, where he puts stuff into your heart every day, yeah? And when your time with God is like that every day, then you're not going to miss a journal because you don't want to miss it. I was thinking of it like this. Like, God is your loving Father, and every single day he has a present to give you. So why wouldn't you go and get it? It's like it's your birthday every single day, and God wants to give something to you, yeah? And every time you read the Bible, he wants to speak. And every time you spend time in his presence, he wants to renew your strength and build you up and put new things into your heart and guide your steps. And so why wouldn't you do that? I really don't understand being too busy to pray or read the Bible, yeah? Like, when I'm busy, I need that more. And when I let, like, busyness take over me and I don't do that, then I feel it straight away. And I know that you're the same because we're all the same. Even like today, like, I just felt such a, I mean, we had a busy week, a full-on busy week, a lot of stuff that I had to get done and, you know, a lot of things that didn't get done, but like, just this afternoon just felt such a refreshing with God, just like as I was getting ready for tonight and just, you know, that's there every day for us. And he really wants to do it. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me if you're weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, when you're burdened, Go to Jesus. Don't push him aside. So often when we're heavy and burdened, we say, well, I don't have time for you, Jesus. I've got all this burden to carry. That's silly when he's saying, now come to me and I'll take it off you. It doesn't even make sense, yeah? But we do it all the time. We constantly do things that don't make sense. It's just how it is. But when we hope in God and we delight in him, he strengthens us and he fills us up and he renews us again, yeah? That's an incredible promise that, you know, we can spend time with him and we can be with him and we can enjoy being in his presence, which is just a great thing in itself, an incredible thing in itself. And then when we do that, he will just strengthen us to run again. And, you know, that's, I don't think, there's no coincidence that like at the start or the end, depending on, I guess, which way you see it, of every single week there is church. And that every single week we would come together and just be renewed again. But don't let that be the only time that you get filled with God. You know, you can have that every single day. And the final thing, the final promise that God really spoke to me about is that when you stumble, you won't fall. You know, David, like reading through Samuel, he stumbled. The biggest, most obvious maybe one is with Bathsheba. And I was really interested because I don't know if you've read it, but David has these 30 men that are like his awesome team that go and do stuff together. And they're like the best warriors and they just go around killing people, you know, whatever. They do all, they're like his team, his little squad, and they're awesome. And Uriah is one of those guys, and Uriah is Bathsheba's husband. So David kills one of his best friends to steal his wife. Like, that's a stumble, if there is ever a stumble. But the amazing thing about David is that his heart is for God. And then he comes before God and he repents and he turns to God. And God delights in him. Now Solomon, David's son, who builds the temple, is the daughter, son of Bathsheba. No, Jesus comes from that line. So God uses this big stumble to do something incredible. And that's what it says that in Romans 8, that we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. You know, we have been called and loved by God, and he wants to work in us and through us, and he works through all of the things that have happened and all of the stumbles that we have made and turn them around for good, for his purpose. That's what he does for David, and that's what he wants to do for us. You know, that he can turn that failure, that circumstance, that sin into a testimony of his love and grace and power. And that's an amazing thing. You know, David writes this psalm, like, just after all this stuff with Bathsheba has happened, and he says to God, you don't delight in sacrifice or I'd bring it to you, or take pleasure in burnt offerings. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. There's such a strong feeling of, you know, God does not despise you. God is holy and he is pure and he needs holiness, but he loves you. And David, for all of his stumbles, gets that because he delights himself in God and God delights himself in David. And that's so, so cool, yeah? And if we would come to God not defending our sin but understanding it, then he will love us and lift us up. Yeah, in Proverbs 3 it says, he mocks proud mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. Now whatever your failure, bring it to God. Whatever has happened, whatever it is, you can bring it before God humbly. Delight yourself in him and he will delight in you. That's so powerful. So amazing. And Dad's message this morning was really, really good. And if you missed it, then download it and have a listen. And you know, I just think we need to understand both the incredible holiness and the incredible love of God. Because you can't have one without the other. Now, either way, it doesn't work. We need to understand that we can't get to God on our own merits. It's only because of what Jesus did, that he was perfect, he was holy, he was pure, and he took our punishment so that when God sees us, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees Jesus. Like, we need to get that. We need to understand that, yeah? Because if we can understand that, then we will not fall, no matter how many times we stumble, yeah? Maybe the guys can come and I'll just pray. Thank you, God. God, I just thank you for your love for us. God, we know that we don't deserve it and we don't deserve you at all. But you promise us that if we delight ourselves in you, if we obey you, if we humbly come to you, God, that you will lift us up, that you will be delighted in us. And that's so incredible, God. I just pray that you would help us understand how much you love us, how much you care for us, what you want to do for us, God, and that you have a plan and a purpose that goes beyond our stumbles. And God, I pray that we would be able to come to you with everything that is in our life and everything that we've done wrong and say, God, I'm sorry. Please change me. Forgive me. And God, thank you that you do that as soon as we do that. God, help us to desire you and set our heart on you and seek your kingdom, God, and not get caught up with the desires of this world or the worries of this world, God, but just trust in you, God. And thank you that you lift us up, that you renew our strength, that you fulfill everything that we need. If we can all just stand together and we'll pray. I just want to give a really clear and simple opportunity tonight just to receive what Jesus did for you. So I've said it already, but by ourselves, we can't do anything. We can't even get close to being good enough for God. But Jesus took the punishment of every single thing that we did wrong on himself on the cross so that we could have a relationship with God and we could have eternity in heaven. And because of that, God can delight himself in you. He can give you a purpose and a hope and a future, and he can take away your sin. And so if you want that and you want to start a relationship with God, then I want to pray with you. And so maybe while everyone's in an attitude of prayer, while everyone's their heads down or their eyes closed or whatever, maybe you just raise your hand with me and say, yeah, I want to pray that. I want to pray with you for that because I need Jesus in my life. I need that forgiveness. I need his love in a new way. Maybe you've never prayed that before. Or maybe you have 50 times. It doesn't matter. You just say, yeah, I need just a new start with God. That's cool. All right, we're all going to pray this prayer together. It's going to come up on the screen. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. If you put up your hand or you prayed that in your heart for the first time or just in a new way, then talk to the person that brought you. Talk to your life group leader. Make it a thing that's not just about, a decision in a service, but about an actual change in your life, yeah? Amen. Thanks, guys.